Hallelujah. Would you turn that up one more notch? One of you turn the fan up. One of you turn the fan up one more notch. In John chapter 15, and in verse 1, if you're there, say amen. John chapter 15, verse 1. And then I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to read the scriptures all the way through this morning. I have the first part of the message that God has given me concerning voices. Learning to distinguish between the voice of God. Amen. And the voices in our life. Who is God speaking through for the benefit of our life? How many knows that God sends individuals into our life to speak into our life? How many knows the devil sends people into our life to speak into our life? Amen. Some of you had a stronger amen on the second part than you did the first, so I don't know what that's about this morning. Amen. How many knows that everybody that comes into our life is not necessarily the voice that God wants in our life? And how many knows that we got to be careful because of the voices that have been in our life before that have been destructive or selfish in our lives? If we are not careful, we will dismiss and miss. Everybody say dismiss and miss. See, sometimes it's not the missing, it's the dismissing of the voices in our life that God sends us because they don't become packaged the way we want them to. Are you hearing me? See, we need to understand that our brain is wired to receive. Your brain is wired to receive certain things, and it's not the conscious mind, but it's the subconscious mind of the things that have been implanted, that have been taught to you, that you have experienced, and because of that, you're wired a certain way. Amen? That's why that, you know, when we bring out broccoli for Zach to eat, he goes, "Ah, that's yucky." Well, why is it yucky, man? I don't know. It's just green. It looks yucky. Well, have you ever tasted it? No. Then how do you know it's yucky? How many hears what I'm saying to you? It's not because it's yucky. It's because that's the way his brain is wired. But you put a plate of macaroni and cheese in it, you think it's a, you know, T-bone steak and a baked potato, man. Like, really? Like, man, you're 10 years old. If it wasn't for you, Kraft macaroni and cheese would be broke. I'm serious. But how many knows that's the way his brain is wired? And we're wired towards certain biases and prejudices in our life. And if certain things are not packaged a certain way. I used to say for years is that, and she's a wonderful teacher. She's like in her 80s now, Marilyn Hickey. How many are familiar with Marilyn Hickey? Wonderful teacher. But man, to sit for an hour and listen to her teach, after a while, it's like, you know, I used to just like running my fingernails down a chalkboard. And it wasn't what she was saying, but I couldn't get past her voice. I couldn't get past the package to be able to receive. I wonder how many times we've never got to the inside of the package because we've never unwrapped it. We literally dismiss things, and because of it, we miss what God wants to bring to our lives. Many times because certain things don't make sense to us. Because we look at certain things and we say, well, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make logic. And if it doesn't make logical sense, well, let me tell you something, Judge Judy, okay? God isn't always going to make sense to you. Well, he should. Well, no, he's God. He's a sovereign God. Amen? How many does a bumblebee make sense to you that it flies? Well, you say it makes sense because you see a bumblebee fly. But in aerodynamics, it's impossible for the bumblebee to fly. He should not fly with those little wings and that big round body. Amen? Whatever he's doing, he should be walking. He shouldn't be flying. But it don't make sense. Amen? It don't make sense that a caterpillar creates a cocoon and it looks like a death, and it is a death. But then what comes forth is a beautiful butterfly. It doesn't make sense. It's not logically connected to my brain. I'm wired. I look at it. That little creepy fuzzy thing crawling on the ground is one day going to be a beautiful butterfly? Ah, no. But how many people have missed the God in you because of where you're wrapped at that time? Where your life is wrapped up in. And sometimes the things that we're wrapped up in wraps us up. And because of that, that's how we look at the time. And there's people who saw us 5 years ago and said, well, there's a mess. And even though you've walked through the mess and God has brought you on the other side, has brought you on the other side of the mess, and you ain't a mess no more. But they don't know that because they don't know the inside of you. So all they see and remember is what? The package of what you used to be. They don't see the new you. They don't see the brand new you. They don't see what God has brought you through. They don't see how God has delivered you and saved you. So what they judge you by is, oh, my last memory of you. Amen? Oh, I'll bring it even down further. Anybody want to be my example? You want to be my example? Well, what I'll do is I'm going to slap Courtney as hard as I can. I'm going to slap her as hard as I can. How many thinks I can slap pretty hard? Amen. You've never been slapped by me. But I slap her as hard as I can. I'm her pastor. I have loved her. I have cried over her. I have sweated tears and blood over her. Truly. And I've seen God bring this girl who was a mess. Who was a mess 3.5 years ago. Her life was a mess. I remember the first time she came up here. And God was ministering to her life. And it took 2 times. Because if it would have just been the first time, there would have been nothing there. But the second time that God did a great work in her life. And I want you to know, I know that a lot of people looked and said, you know, there goes a mess. Amen? People look at you and say, I remember you. I remember that mess. I remember you. I remember your mess. I remember how you were. Amen? I mean, there's no eraser in people's lives. But how many are glad today that we serve a God who doesn't remember a mess? That he takes a thing called the blood of Jesus Christ and pours it over your mess. No matter how dirty, how dark, how devastating, how dastardly the deeds in your life. No matter what you've done or what you've done it to or who you've done it to. How many are glad today for the blood of Jesus Christ over the mess of your life? And even though the world may see you as a mess, God doesn't see you as a mess. So God doesn't always repackage you pretty. Sometimes he leaves the outside package while he's changing the inside mess. Oh, help me now. Somebody needs to help me in this house today. Amen. This ain't my message, but this is pretty good. But it all has to do with what we're talking about. John chapter 15 verse 1. Goes right along with what God has given me. See, I think that we struggle with the process. How many struggles with the process? How many loves the promise? Oh, come on now. Said, how many loves the promise? God heals, God delivers, God sets free. God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. But I can't pay my electric bill this week. Oops. Amen? How many, here's what I'm saying to you. That's the mess on the inside. Huh? God is taking care of the mess on the inside. Quit worrying about what other people think. God's doing a work on the inside of you. Oh, come on. Some of you spend too much time worrying about what other people think about you. I said, you strive because you want other people to see you differently. You work overtime Because you want people to approve you. And you want them to bless you. And you want their affirmation. And you want their pat on the back. But I'm here to tell you today that we need to come to a place of realizing that man's not going to do anything about the mess on the inside of your life. But it's God Almighty, the sovereign God we serve. He's the one who's taking care of the mess. Quit worrying about what other people think and realize that God and what He has said over you, that you are the apple of His eye. You are His blessed child. You are His son. You are His daughter. He lives and reigns on the inside of you. He is the God that loves you, and you're the most special thing in His life to the degree that He gave His son to die for you. Mercy, sakes alive. Who cares what other people say?
I do.
And that's why we'd be so miserable and unhappy. Amen? That's all a part of our wiring. You hear me, Joe? It's our wiring, see? We're wired a certain way. That's why some of us are, you know, high strung. Some of us are kind of laid back, don't matter. Amen? Don't really matter. Amen? See, I'm high strung. I'm intense about everything. Amen? Everything. I'm intense about food. I'm intense about fun. I'm intense about Jesus. I'm intense about everything. I try to be quiet. I try to be laid back like Karen. I've tried it. Man, that stuff would cause ulcers real quick. Amen? I'm wired a certain way. You're wired a certain way. But you got to understand, too, is this, is that God's trying to rewire you. God is trying to redirect your path. God is trying to renew you. You keep trying to do it through the flesh. You can't do it through the flesh. You got to do it because we are renewed. We are renewed by how? By the Word of God. You are transformed by the renewed of your mind through the Word of God. You can't renew it any other way. I said you can't renew it any other way. It won't happen. Amen. Well, leave me alone. Let's go to John 15. And we'll see what God has to say to us. How many has already received something this morning? How many glad God's taking care of your mess? Come on, turn to somebody and say, my package ain't that pretty right now. It's got a few wrinkles on it. Amen. What used to be up is down now. Come on, help me now. What used to be full is a little bit thinner now. What used to be thin is a little bit fuller now. Come on, help me. Don't act like you're all religious out there. Amen? But guess what? Turn to somebody and tell them, God's doing a work in me. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout. Come on. John chapter 15, verse 1. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me, come on, pay close attention if you got your Bibles. How many's got your Bibles today? Amen. Your iPad, your iPhone, your electronic equipment. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth, what? More fruit. Now, we are clean through the Word. Is that what it says? We are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Everybody say, abiding in him. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Without who? Who's him? Yeah, you can't do anything without him. Amen? So look what he says here, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Everybody say, God is a giver, but God's a taker. We like talking about God the giver, but we don't always like talking about God the taker. Oh, come on now. I said, we like talking about God the giver, but we don't like talking about God the Taker. How many Father's Days and Mother's Days have you ever sat around with your parents and said, you know, today what we're going to do is just talk about all the things that you took from me as a child. We're going to talk about all the spankings. We're going to talk about all the disciplines. I'm going to tell you on Father's Day, on Mother's Day, how unhappy I am that I have been your child about the things that you have taken from me. How many Mothers and Fathers Day? I'm sure there's been a few twisted, perverted ones like that in history. But we don't spend that time, do we? We are always talking about the giving. Why? Because usually the giving is more than the taking. Because we realize the older we get, we realize that our mother and fathers gave us a lot more than whatever they took. But the problem is that you can't discipline without taking. I said you can't discipline without taking. The reason why that an unthankful nature and spirit abides within a child or even an adult is the result because they didn't like to be disciplined. Ooh. There's a kind of hush all over the church today. All over the church. We don't want to talk. Anyways, look what he says here. God is not only a giver, God's a taker. But God has a reason. How many knows that there is a purpose in the process? But you're never going to see the purpose unless you go through the process. If you don't go through the process that God has for your life, you're never going to see the purpose that God has for your life. What you're going to always do is you're always going to be struggling with life, always questioning life, but you're never going to know what his real purpose is. Look what it says here. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Man, we're going to come back to that. You need to underline that verse. You need to underline that verse. He said, ask what you will. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, he said, you can ask. Is that what it says in your Bible? Do you know what it says in the Greek? That's what it says in the Greek. It says, ask what you will, and it will what? It'll be done. Man, that's powerful. Those are powerful words. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear what? Much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. One moment he's talking about removing and pruning my life. Now he is explaining to you that there is a point to the process. If our life is all discipline and we don't know what the point is, if you are trying to discipline your child and you're not explaining to them, this is the reason why you're being disciplined. But if all you ever discipline is out of anger, if all you ever discipline is out of your emotions, and you really don't have the interest of the child at best here, and that's not the point, then they miss the point. Then you're not teaching. See, you're not chastising. Chastisement is admonishment. Admonishment is teaching, is correction with instruction. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, complete. Jesus gave his life so that you would have a complete life. Not a life that was incomplete. Not a life that had great big gaps in it. How many's tired of the gaps? How many wants to fill in the gaps? How many knows that God's will is that the thief cometh to steal and to kill? But Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, but I've come to give you that life. And that word life there means Zoe. It means abundant life. We talk a lot about it. And we see certain people come into abundant life, but why is it that many don't come into abundant life? And the reason why is simple, is that there is a two-step process. It's not if we abide in him, he is going to prune us. Everybody say prune us. Amen. It's not those little fruit things either we're talking about today. Verse 11, these things have I spoken to you that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Amen? Now turn with me to 1 Kings. I'm taking my time this morning. If you're in a hurry, I hope you have a Tebow. Is it a Tebow? What's that thing that records? What is it? What? No, it's not a DVR, is it? A hopper or whatever it's called. That little thing with a kangaroo on the front of it. I'm not a techie. I'm a pastor. Look what it says in verse 11, chapter 19. I'm giving you scriptures for a series that I'm doing. So I am not in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, amen. Turn to somebody and say, dang, I should have ate breakfast this morning. Look, verse 11. If you're there, say amen. Verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain. Everybody say, the wind. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a small voice. I just want you to stop here. I'm not going to stop here for very long, but I do want you to know that where I'm going, so I'm planting some seed here, is that there's a time in our life to where that we can have ministry. We begin, and then we begin to minister. We begin to move in God. God begins to do some things in our life. I want you to know that no matter what you may do, no matter who you are, that God will stop the ministry in your life and he will stop you so that he can deal with the person and not with the ministry. Because I want you to know today is this, is the person is always more important than the ministry. And until the person gets dealt with. So what we have here is simple, and I'll be coming back to it later. What is simple here is this, is that in every one of these instances, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, were things that Elijah had seen God speak through in times past. And I'm here to tell you today is this, is that if the voices that you depended on, if the things that you used to depend on, God being that was used to speak into your life, and you're not hearing those things, that's because God has something brand new he wants to say to you. And how God moved in your life before doesn't mean that's how God is going to move in your life today. As I said at the first, many times we miss because we dismiss the package that it comes in. It did not come in the wind. It did not come in the earthquake. It did not come in the fire. But it came in a still small voice. And he heard the voice of God. How many wants to hear the voice of God? Amen. How many knows that God wants to speak to us? Amen. Are you ready today? Praise God. I want you to look here in John chapter 15. Let's go back there because I'll be referring back here to John. Honey, would you give me a couple of Kleenexes? Thank you, my darling. Oops. Lose my notes. I won't be able to preach. Look here what he's saying to us, because we're talking about the thing that we don't want to talk about, and that is cutting. I want to say to you that authority is never to dominate, but to steer. So when God brings a voice into our life that he wants to use to instruct us, when God wants to bring something that he wants to teach us, and it's true leadership never dominates. Amen. True leadership never dominates. Authority sets boundaries on our life to protect us. That's why God brings leadership. That's why you have parents. There's a divine order that God has set in our lives, and that's why you have parents. If parents don't set boundaries, guess what? Kids will set their own boundaries. And that's why God brings leadership into our life. And we say, well, Pastor, why is it that there's so little real leadership in the world? I think there's more leadership and good leadership and godly leadership than what we realize. I think the reason why we don't see it many times is, again, is because that we have been wired a certain way because of our experiences. But God is bringing about godly leadership, and God's bringing about a church that is going to be a church that is disciplined for the kingdom of God. See, God is about fruitfulness. John 15 here reveals to us that God is about one thing, and that's fruitfulness in our life. Not being unproductive. The time for being unproductive has got to leave our life. We cannot any longer afford, if you are in the same age bracket as me, amen, and I'm not ashamed of my age. I am what I am, and I look what my age is, I'm sure, 39. So, I'm sorry, did I say something funny? Anyways, sometimes I say things funny and I don't even realize it. God is about that. But the older you get, you realize you don't want to waste time if it's not fruitful. If it's not beneficial, I don't want to do it. Amen? How many is at that same place? No, I don't want to walk through the mall. If I ain't walking to the mall to do something, I don't want to walk through the mall. Now, if you want to walk through the mall and that brings you fruit to your life, I want you to walk all you want. Amen? If I'm not walking to the mall and that God hasn't sent me there, I'm going to witness to somebody. I'm going to share the gospel with somebody. I'm not walking through the mall to walk through the mall. Now, if Pastor Karen asks me to walk through the mall because she wants me to walk through the mall, I'll submit to that walk. I may not be perfectly happy about that walk, but I'll walk. The older you get, the more productive that you want to be. And how many knows that God wants us to be productive? The reason why we stop doing things, the reason why we become discouraged is because simply that we become unproductive in it. That's why people stop praying. That's why they stop coming to church. It's because it's not productive. There's no fruit to it. I come and nothing happens. No wonder. I don't blame you. If you come here and nothing happens, you don't feel the presence of God. You don't have a pastor who is pastoring you. And I'm not pastoring you. I'd find someplace else too. Truly. See, when God begins to cut away people and things from our lives, we tend to think we are losing things when God is just revealing things in our life. When God begins to cut things away from our life and God begins to do that pruning process in our life, God is not trying to punish you. What God is trying to do is He's trying to reveal things in our life. He can't reveal and He can't bring forth fruitfulness until He cuts away the old branches that are in our life. So there are things in our life, people and things in our life that are keeping us from an unfruitful life. How many can hear it today? So He prunes if there is no fruit. Isn't that what the Bible says there? Look in John 15 again. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So here, literally, he prunes if there is no fruit. And he prunes if there is little fruit. I guess I'm pruned if I do and I'm pruned if I don't. Amen? What is the goal of all this cutting? What is God trying to accomplish in my life? We need to understand the difference between process and purpose. Process is taking you towards purpose. We get twisted and frustrated at some of the process that God has and that He's doing in us. But God is, as always, has a process with the purpose in our life. And if we miss the process, if we don't endure the process, then we won't see the purpose that God has for our life. Amen. The other night, it was interesting because what transpired was that Zach and the kids were out at the pool and my deck at certain places, and I've done repairs, it has splinters in it. And he got a splinter. I heard him all the way upstairs and he was caterwauling. Amen. You would think that he was having major surgery without any kind of anesthesia. And he was crying and he was like, just like his mom and dad were beating him. And so I went down. I was concerned. I said, Krista, what's wrong with Zach? He's got a splinter in his foot. I thought, oh my God, this must be a major splinter in his foot with this much crying. No. You couldn't even see it, but she had to get to the head of the splinter. And I mean, he was going through major travail because that she had to get to the splinter. How many understands? The purpose of it was to get to the spinner so it wouldn't get infected. But he didn't want to go through the process. He didn't want to go through the pain. He didn't want to go through being able for that thing to be taken out. And how many knows there are certain things in our life that are so embedded into our life. Are you hearing me? That are so embedded into your life. That are so deep in your life. That have been wired there. And have wired there because of the trauma. Because of the pain. Because of the way that you've been raised. Because you had a mommy and daddy that wasn't there in your life. And it was being wired. But how many knows that God loves us so much. That God cares about you so much. That He is willing to take you through the process. To bring the purpose and the promise into your life. If you believe it, come on, give the Lord a hand clap today. So the process is taking you towards the purpose. It don't feel that way, though, sometimes. See, sometimes, Greg, it doesn't feel like that is God's in control. It's the way that Karen feels sometimes when I'm driving. Do you really know where you're going? Of course I do. And if I don't, I'm not going to say anything. But God's not that way. How many hears what I'm saying? God's not that way in our life. God has a process for our life. Imagine a relationship where whatever you ask of God, it's done. There in verse 7, I wanted you to take note of that. That if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. So what God is in the process is that He is trying to create intimacy in our life. He is trying to create intimacy to where that, think about it, that you are so close to God that no matter what you ask of Him, it is done. That is intimacy. That is where it's at. That just as if you have the favor with the king, you have the ear of the king like Esther did. And she had the ear of the king. And because she had his ear and his favor, she could ask what she wanted. And it was granted unto her. And I am saying to you today is this. Is that God is trying to take us through the process. Why? So that when we are next to Him, we have discarded everything else out of our life. We removed every sin that so has easily beset us. We've gotten rid of all the junk. All those things that you held valuable. Everything that you held important to your life. We wondered, God, why are these people leaving my life? Talking about your husband and wife, so don't get all, yeah, thank you, Pastor, for that confirmation this morning. No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the people from your past. We're talking about the people who sucked the life out of you. We're talking about you. And here, there's got to come a point where you have to make a decision. Is certain family members more important than your relationship with God? Amen. Is there certain things in your life? Why? And we realize, why doesn't this ever work out? Why is this always a struggle? Why is this always a pain? Folks, I'm not talking about the struggle that is between my flesh and my spirit. But I'm talking about when God has spoken to us, He has dealt with us, but yet we have not made the decision to say enough is enough. Amen? Amen. That level of intimacy can't happen without all of these dead branches in your life being removed. We want fruitfulness. We want God to bring fruitfulness to our life, but we don't want God to remove all of those things in our life. See, when we got saved, when our lives became connected to the divine nature, you do remember? It's revealed, and it's revealed all kinds of things in us we didn't even know we had in us. When we came to God, we didn't realize that all of those things. And how many knows that we go through a process even in our life right now, that as we allow the divine nature to walk in our lives, as He comes into our life, then what happens is those things are being revealed in our life that we didn't even know they were there. Like, man, where did those come from? Sometimes we're even surprised at our own thoughts and our own ideals. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 reveals it to us. See, you need to realize that you are a house of thoughts. There are no innocent thoughts. Are you hearing me? It's not as your spirit, are you? Hear it again. It's not as your spirit, are you? But it's as you think, are you? Proverbs 23:7 says to us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's not as my spirit. Why? Well, because that's not the order. The order is that you are body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is the mistress of the house. But until your mind is renewed, you're not going to be able to walk out anything. Your mind has to change before your body will move in that direction. No matter what your spirit is saying, unless that it's a supernatural intervention from God, one of His miracles and wonders that God supersedes the natural. But we're talking about 95% of the time. Your body will not go where your mind has not told it. Amen? Your body is not going to kneel in prayer. Hello? Amen? Because how many knows? Every distraction of the world. We have a rule in our house. We break it from time to time, but we have a rule in our house. No talking until we pray. Say, why, Pastor? Because sure enough, once you start talking, prayer becomes secondary. And really the things you're talking about is the things you should be praying about. So pray first, because your conversation will be completely different after you pray. Oh, come on. Somebody help me this morning. Amen. And so it's not as your spirit are you, but as you think are you. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my heart, the way I think, is what we're talking about this morning. Think about this. We get saved. The divine nature is put in us. God doesn't wait. His spirit begins immediately to go through and take spiritual inventory of our entire life. You are His workmanship. He is the potter. You are the clay. God is doing a work on the inside of you. The things that God is removing. The things that God is pruning. The things that God's trying to cut from your life. But how many knows that we many times resist against those things because they are things that we've held to our lives and we thought they were important. That is all well and good at first. We first get saved, we want God to take away all the things. And the reason why is because most of us were miserable and we wanted relief. I remember when I got saved, Shane. I remember that day. I can right now go immediately to that place, that kid who was a street kid. I can go to him immediately and I can see him. And he was miserable. I was miserable. Amen. I was the most unhappiest person in the world. I would have done anything to get any kind of relief in my life. And at first, it's all well and good because I just want relief. But when you're in pain, you just want the pain to stop. And it would be fine if there was just only one layer of our lives. But how many knows our lives are not just one layer? Our lives are multiple layers in our life. And the things that God dealt with years ago, God is now dealing with new things in our life. And we're wondering why. It's because it's taken this long. Whether you have been cooperative or uncooperative, God has been dealing with you to get to this layer in your life. And so He's pulling it back to deal with that area in our life. That is, through the course of your life, we have experienced a combination of things. By the way we were raised, by the traumas in our life, the varied relationships we've had, plus your physical health. All of these things contribute to your mental health. Amen? We are like, cool, take all the bad out and put all the good in, God. I'm ready. Right? Take all the nasty things out. Take all the bad things out of my life. Take all the bad thoughts. Take all the bad attitudes. Take them all out, God, and put the good things in. That's great until God begins to deal with the people and the things in our life. Well, God, I didn't mean that. I didn't want you to go there. Amen? How many of us, we all got our favorite arguments as couples? We've been arguing about them for years. It's always that one thing. We're fine until we start talking about that thing. We're fine until we start talking about that person. We're fine until we start talking about money. Hello? But how many knows it's because we have not allowed God to purge that thought, that purge that way? See, you may be a hoarder and don't even realize it today. I'll say it again. Oh, Pastor, I'm a clean freak. Oh, you may be a clean freak on the outside, but you may be a hoarder on the inside. So I gave somebody an example. I said, our lives sometimes is like a closet. See, all of us have a room or a closet to where we put all the stuff that we don't want to deal with. We call it our junk room, junk closet. Some of us have just junk houses. Amen. Amen. I'm totally against any flat spaces in a house. A flat space only has one purpose. That is to collect stuff. Amen. But everybody just look at me and point your hand this way and say, but you know what, Pastor? You're not in charge. Okay. How many hears what I'm saying to you? And so we have that favorite room. We have that place to where that we store things. We put those things away because we don't want to deal with them. We don't want to put them in their proper place. We haven't prepared a place to be able to put that. So we take that thought, we take that trauma, we take that situation, and we put it away. We put it away. We put it, we cover it. What we call in mental health is we suppress the thought. And I know none of you have. We're talking about people who are on medication. So if you're on medication, don't worry about it today. But we suppress the thought. Well, suppressing the thought is in the same context as that closet that we are covering our thoughts. Well, those thoughts don't dissipate on their own. They don't disappear on their own. They don't dissipate into the air. Those thoughts are put into your subconscious. And then what happens is that when something or someone comes along and they touch that place in our life, it's like opening that closet door and it's packed full of all that junk, and you open the door and it all comes crashing out on top of you. It's because we haven't put them in the we haven't dealt with it. Why is God pruning the branches? Why is God doing the cutting? Because He wants your closet to be free. He wants you to be free. But you can't be free as long as you're hoarding. As long as you're not dealing with it. And I want you to know this is that you belong to God. I said you belong to God this morning. And because of it, you are His workmanship. See, you may be a hoarder and don't even realize it, but I want you to know the person of Jesus prepares you for heaven, but His words prepare us for earth. Success has a pathology mindset, and so does failure. And it's because of the way that we think. It's the way that we believe about ourselves. That's why that God is constantly dealing and pruning and dealing and pruning in our life. Why? Because God is trying to bring us to a fruitful place in our life. Failure and failing is two different things. Everyone has had failings in their life, but failure happens when it gets inside you and then becomes a mindset, a lifestyle on the inside of me. Why is God cutting the branches? Why is God removing things from my life? He's removing those things and cutting those things because He wants us to have the mind of Christ instead of the mind of Mark. Because the mind of Mark is governed by his past. Governed by old Adam instead of the new Adam. How many knows that failure happens when it gets inside of you? Failings are not failure until they get on the inside of you. You've heard me say it before. It's going through the storm, but allowing the storm to get inside of you is two different things. We all are going to go through storms in life. All of us are going to go through hell. But hell is not the place that we need to stop. It's not my destination. I may have to travel through. But how many knows I may have to travel through there? I may have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil because I'm not staying there. His rod and His staff are there to guide me, to lead me, because that is not my purpose. The valley of the shadow of death is not my purpose. It's my process. Where you're at right now, the difficulty, the hurt, the pain, the trauma that you may have had to deal with, I want you to understand that's not your destiny. That's not your promise. That's just the process. And if you're not careful, you'll get lost in the process instead of always the promise that God has for your life. Amen? See, what happens is this. Now you're down. Now you're down and you have built a house where you should have just pitched a tent. Now it's become your testimony. Your tragedy has become your testimony. Your problem has become the place that you dwell in. When people look at you, do they look and they see this is the house that God is working on? Or is this the house that Mark is working on? I don't mind that I'm under construction. Amen? I said I don't mind that I look like I'm under construction. And I know I look like that all the time. But I want to say to you, I know that we look and it looks like, as I said to you earlier, my life looks like it's a mess. My life is under construction. I don't mind that people know that. I just want them to know who is the builder of this house. Say, I don't mind that people say, man, when are you going to get finished with that thing? That yard's still a mess. That house is a mess. It looks like you're never going to finish. But I have to tell them, look, I know my life is a mess. I know the house is not finished. But what I want you to know is that, you see, the one who is building it, he's taking his time. And even though the outside looks like it's never going to be finished, I want you to know you've got to step inside and you've got to see the fine work that God is doing on the inside. He's not just putting junk on the inside. He's doing some fine, finished work on the inside. And anybody who's built knows. And Juan will tell you, when it all comes down to it, it's about the finished work. Amen. See, you can put drywall in and have a half inch, and the guy putting the drywall in, he don't have maybe the best skill. So he leaves a gap in there. We used to have, my former pastor used to be a drywall man, and he used to say, mud covers a multitude of sins. Mud covers a multitude of sins. Because you can put that tape and that mud in there, and a good drywall man can make it look, and he can make you look good. Are you hearing me? He can make you look good. That's why that God came along and said to you and to me, he said, love covers a multitude of sins. See, even though that my life is deficient of a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that looks like my tree has nothing on it. All the branches have been pruned, and my life looks barren and bare. What I want you to understand is that I'm still covered by love. Honey, I may look like I'm in my winter season, but come back next spring. Because when you come back next spring, baby, there's going to be fruit on the tree. Are you hearing me today? It looks like my life is going nowhere, that nothing's happening in it. But oh, know this, come back. Because it's not always going to stay the same. I'm under construction. But you got to know that the builder and the maker of this house is God. Come on, somebody give the Lord a clap offering today. I don't have time to finish this today in any way, shape, or form. But know this today, that God is the one. Hey, listen to me today, just for a second. When I went in to have my foot operated on, I had complete confidence in Dr. Anderson to do the work on my foot. I had complete confidence. You know, he'd done a good job. I'm standing here today. But, so I didn't mind that he was going to do the cutting. I had confidence in him. I'd met him. I talked to him. But Eric, if I was laying there on the operating table, I love you, man. Eric, you know Pastor loves you. But you show up at the operating table and you say, Pastor, I felt this impression today to come, and I'm going to take Dr. Anderson's place, and I'm going to cut on you. No, Eric. No. Pastor loves you, and there's a lot of things I have utmost confidence, but I will drop you like a bad habit, man, if you don't put that knife down right now. No, you're not cutting on me. Amen? See, the thing of it is, and I'm going to say this by the Spirit to some of you, you've let the wrong person cut on your life. Now they've scarred you. And now you view through your scars that you have in your life instead of letting God cut on you. Because when God cuts on you and God prunes you, you're not left bitter. If you're left bitter, that's not because of God. That's because you've let the wrong person cut on your life. You've let the wrong person direct your life. You've let the wrong. See, I want you to know something. God doesn't command me to set the borders for people's lives by my standards. God commands me by His holy word. That's the standards I set. Do you hear me? Amen? So I am saying to you today is this. Your past is over. Your future is now. Amen? Think about the day that you lived in not too long ago that you thought, where is my life going to be? And here you sit today in faith and in hope and in a new, brand new life. Come on. That's right. Up on you, but here you sit. So many people prophesied failure over you, but here you sit. Impossibility upon impossibility in your life, but here you sit with brand new faith and brand new hope in your life. How many are saying, I'm glad that God's cutting on my life? Amen. The Bible says that we are His workmanship. Amen. We are His workmanship. How many glad it's the hand of God instead of the hand of a father or a man who doesn't love my life? Amen. Amen. Stand with me today. God is good. Say, God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Amen. I'm going to continue next week. I have something deep in my spirit about Elijah that I want to bring. And hopefully we can finish it. If it takes me 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't care. And we're preaching about better things on Wednesday night. God's doing some extraordinary things there. The Lord spoke one word to me Sunday night as I was closing. He said, this is a time of the supernatural that God is going to begin to birth. I'm not talking about the wrong supernatural.